fun Tuesday show. Philbert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Tuesday it is.
Tuesday it is. We've missed a couple of Fridays. I had car trouble one day and then just, you know, other scheduling problems last Friday. Wound up having Benjamin Fulford, who actually is known as a former financial correspondent. He joined the show last Friday, spewing out his various wisdoms. But today, we're together, and we've got some stuff to talk about. You're going to be saying something about telling us about Coinbase, a way of that would be attractive to some people, at least, for getting involved in cryptocurrencies. But we have breaking news. It's breaking news for us.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We have breaking news. Trump picks Brett Kavanaugh for U.S. Supreme Court. Okay. President Donald Trump said he would nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh for a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, a choice that could create the most conservative court in generations and threaten landmark rulings, including the Roe v. Wade abortion rights decision. If confirmed by the Senate, Kavanaugh would fill the seat of retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy, a swing vote who has sometimes sided with the court's liberals in key cases. Trump wants to leave an enduring mark on the court, giving it a solid five justice conservative majority for the foreseeable future. Okay, so Kavanaugh, like, I don't know a whole lot about him. I did hear a discussion of him on Fash the Nation, and they seem to be rooting for him, and apparently Ann Coulter was rooting for him. I think he has a bit of a track record on immigration issues and seemed to be the most dependable, or at least the least undependable, on immigration issues. And there's going to be a lot of immigration issues coming before the Supreme Court, right? I mean, got travel bans. You have, you've got the, I guess there's some court proceedings about family separation and whatnot. So there's a lot of immigration related stuff that may well make its way up to the Supreme Court. So that's important. Some people I think are pointing out that he has in the past spoken or written favorably of Roe versus Wade, but that's not really an issue with me. I think that's completely overblown, and people don't really think through the full implications of Roe versus Wade. I mean, the religious people, they have it's just strictly it's wrong to kill human life, you know, even if it's in the womb, and I understand that, but for a lot of nationalists, it's, you know, they think by banning abortion, that it's going to help the white birth rate. And it would increase the white birth rate a little. It would increase the black birth rate a lot. It would actually speed up the date. I mean, if it hadn't been for abortion, we would be a lot closer to being a minority now, because it's mostly been blacks and other blacks and Hispanics that are the majority of the abortions, because they get pregnant a lot. They get pregnant a lot more than white people. I mean, the thing with white people is they just don't get pregnant very often, and it's not that they're aborting all their pregnancies. So, what do you have any thoughts about this with the Supreme Court?
Well, yeah, like a lot of people, or not a lot, but at least the white families that are having lots and lots of kids still, there's not very many of them, but I mean, they're mostly hardcore religious. No matter what denomination they are, you know, some of them are Mormon, some of them are Catholic, you know, but they're not really I wouldn't say like on the white side particularly. Some of them are liberal. Some of them wouldn't mind open borders. In fact, a great deal of them, I would argue, are like that. I don't know. And I do agree with what you just said about the abortion. I hate to put it this way, but it kind of thins out the herd in a good way, I think. But that's just my personal view. And
well, I mean, evolutionarily, if you were to look at it that way, who are the people who are having...
It's the last string of natural selection we have, you know?
It kind of is. I mean, it's people who don't think that they're going to be able to take care of the kid or don't want to have the kid. And to eliminate the genes of people who don't think that they would be good parents, I don't know if that's necessarily such a bad thing evolutionarily. Although, you know, people would say, well, if you look at the whites who are having abortions, a lot of them are, you know, maybe college educated or whatever, and they've just been indoctrinated into feminism, and there's a point there. You know, they have a point.
That may be true, but there's more, may I say, brown people that have abortions than whites. And
a lot more.
En masse.
Yeah, a lot more. And of course, Planned Parenthood, which is such a boogeyman for the, you know, the Fox News left, or Fox News right. They've been such a boogeyman. But, you know, even President Trump actually kind of defended them in the campaign, said, well, you know, they're not all about abortion. They do some important things. But, you know, abortion-wise, they are probably even more skewed towards inner city, you know, black and Latina abortion than, you know, the rest of the abortion industry is. You know, they're particularly skewed in that direction. Now, if Roe versus Wade was overturned, you'd go back to a situation where states are making their own laws. And where have you seen states pushing, trying to push the boundaries on Roe versus Wade, trying to pass anti-abortion laws? Well, you've seen some in the like upper Midwest, in the rural Midwest, I think Kansas and South Dakota. And those are pretty white states. But you've also seen it in the deep South, like in Mississippi, which is the blackest state in the country. And, you know, if you make abortion illegal, more or less unobtainable in Mississippi, that's just going to be a mini black population explosion. These people, like the evangelical people, who are considered conservative, but, you know, what are they conservative on? This abortion issue, which I think is, people need to reconsider the whole thing. And they're conservative on Israel. You know, they're super for the Zio Wars. That's how they're conservative. They don't tend to care about the borders any more than anyone else. They, you know, it's not an issue with them.
If we could just step out of our religious point of view for just one second, mm-hmm. go back into it, but if you can just step out of that for a second and try to understand like a more humanist view on this, that may be helpful.
Yeah. So, and I don't know, but the evangelicals, they do tend to be white people, and they did vote for Donald Trump. So it's not as if I'm saying that in a political realignment, I would like them to be on the other side. I just don't want.
Well, there are a lot of important things to, you know, consider. And I think, like you said, a lot of people just view it as morally wrong. And
which is a little more understandable. I mean, if you just have...
I mean, I understand that argument, but I really think there's more to it than that. And I do think it's immoral to do it to, you know, kids that obviously, you know, would largely have a good future, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I guess maybe it's one thing if you're talking about abortion within the boundaries of the United States, but of course, these evangelicals in particular have pushed for, you know, the United States to try to shut down programs overseas, like in Africa. Right? To shut down these kind of any family planning in Africa that where somebody can talk about abortion. And the fact of the matter is, you could say every life is sacred, but there is not room on planet Earth for every child that's going to be conceived.
We're already overpopulated.
We're overpopulated, and we're facing this massive African population explosion, which nothing else seems to be getting it under, or nothing seems to be getting it under control. And the default path we're on is, you can't tell Africans not to reproduce, and once they've reproduced, you have to feed them. You can't let them starve. And if they're poor in their own countries, you have to let them come to your country. And that is the default situation. And Mark Collette had a video, Mark Collette, actually Collette is the way he pronounces his name. He had a video, not this last week, but the week before, about the plan by European elites to bring 200 million Africans to Europe. What could possibly go wrong? 200 million. I mean, we have 40 million African Americans. 200 million Africans in Europe. What could possibly go wrong?
That would be the end. I mean, that is the end. Lights out and it's all dark.
Yeah. And, you know, at some point, people have to realize that I hate to go back to Jerry Brown, but Jerry Brown back in the 1970s was talking about spaceship Earth. Well, he was a spacey kind of guy. But that, you know, if you're on a spaceship, you've got finite resources. Well, the Earth is a spaceship. It's got finite resources. It really does. And we're reaching the point. If you fly and you look down, if you're flying from coast to coast in the United States, there will be some areas around the Rocky Mountains where you look down and you don't see a whole lot of evidence of humanity. But the rest of the country, that's all you see, is evidence of humanity. The agricultural Midwest, you just look down and all you see, farms, farms, farms.
Yeah.
It's been transformed. And you get east of the Appalachians and, you know, you just see human settlement, humans everywhere. You just see human settlement. And we've transformed, our hunk of this continent. Canada's still got a lot, you know, in the north. But if you fly over Europe, you fly over China or Southeast Asia, all you see, India, which I haven't ever flown over India, but all you see is human settlement. We've transformed the Earth, and it's going to have impacts. And it does change the climate. To me, the climate change is real. The climate change solutions are what's phony. If you're going to have this expanding population and use all these resources, you're going to have climate change. And, you know, whether or not you have a carbon tax, you're going to have climate change. So to me, the problem's real. The solutions are phony. And I don't know if there is a solution for it. If you want to have a population of 7 billion or 8 billion or 9 billion people, I don't see how you can avoid drastically impacting the climate over the long run.
Yeah, and there'll be water shortages as well.
Yeah, there's all sorts.
You're already seeing that.
You're already seeing it. There's going to be all sorts of environmental impacts, and that's just a result of having so many people who are living off of the environment. And the solution.
Las Vegas is a good example. I mean, the Lake Mead that they take Mead mm-hmm. Lake Mead. That they take all the water out of. Like, they had to excavate a new tunnel, like, to drain the reservoir because they've sucked it so dry that there's no more water, you know? So So they have to dig a new one, like lower.
Now, Lake Mead, that's the artificial lake that's developed behind the Hoover Dam, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So that's on a local scale, but there you go. I mean, that is humanity, just transforming the landscape, transforming, the aqueducts, all the cycles, and that's what we do. And yeah. it has massive.
It's hard to get away from it. That's what I don't like. It's overdevelopment.
Yeah, and it's overdevelopment. There it's at a local scale, but with 7 or 8, 9 billion people, it's a global scale too. And we're losing all of the megafauna of Africa. They're all going to be gone. We've lost the megafauna. I guess we lost it in Europe long, long time ago. In India, they had tigers, they had elephants, they had rhinoceros in Indonesia. I don't know if they have in India, but these are all disappearing, and they're all going to disappear. And some will be saved through zoos and maybe a few national parks, but. We're losing all of this, and a carbon tax or, some climate change accord that sets limits on carbon emissions isn't going to change the fundamental. It's not going to change anything fundamentally.
That's just a way for the tribe to make more money while we destroy the planet.
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid over a stomach ache or, a Band-Aid over a cancerous tumor.
We could hand out Africa like friendly robots that hand out contraceptives, to the locals.
Yeah, non-Christian robots. So it would be okay. The Africans, and I hate to say it, but they won't even use condoms to prevent AIDS, the spread of AIDS. You think of Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, because you don't get as much money when you use a condom.
You don't get as much money?
Money? Right, yeah.
If you're a prostitute.
Right, when they're selling themselves.
Right, and you got...
They get less money, and that's one of the main reasons I've read.
I didn't know that, but that makes sense. But you think of Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa, somebody who is an educated person. He's got to be relatively intelligent. You have to have some smarts to get to the top of any large society. And, he had a rape case against him. And he was saying, no, it was consensual. Well, consensual with whom? Consensual with a woman that he knew he was having was AIDS positive, HIV positive, and he was having unprotected sex with her. But it was consensual, meaning he was consenting too to having unprotected sex with a HIV positive woman.
Wow.
So if they're not going to, even if the elite people aren't going to protect themselves from AIDS.
Sounds like Jerry Springer on steroids.
I know the what to do about the African population explosion is a hard nut to crack. But we will be back after the break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, healthcare has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back to the show. So, Philbert, you were talking about robots. I guess, was that a reference to Andrew Anglin's proposal to send killer robots to Africa?
Yeah, that was a little joke I was trying to crack. I don't know if anybody got it. Probably a bad attempt at a joke.
But these would be friendly robots.
I really did like that show that you did with him. And if anybody hasn't listened to it, it's still very relevant. I think, did you do that last year, or was that this year?
Yeah, it was at the beginning of last year. It was about 18 months ago, or
right.
17
months
ago.
I still think it's very relevant. Anybody who hasn't listened to it should go listen to it.
About the African population explosion. He had written the article, "When Will the UN Act to Cull the Homo Erectus Population and Save the African Elephant?" And, you know, it's very rude and everything. He's calling, you know, sub-Saharan Africans Homo erectus and all of that. And his proposals include, you know, the possibility of sending killer robots with artificial intelligence. But he's worried that they might accidentally kill gorillas because, you know, Google...
Right, well, I can't tell the difference between a bonobo and a African male.
Google... Artificial intelligence apparently has had a bit of trouble with that. I mean, obviously, I can tell the difference, but there's
some things today that just humans are better at, you know.
Yeah, but the reason I was comfortable having him on with those outlandish proposals was to juxtapose it to the complete lack of any real proposal coming from the establishment. The establishment saying, well, yeah, they've got this massive population explosion, and current projections have Africans making up 50% of the world's population by the end of the century, but it'll all be okay. maybe a youthful population is just what Africa needs to snap out of its age-old cycle of poverty. And this is The Economist writing. So they're all whistling past the graveyard, and I thought, okay, well, let's get this conversation going. So I had Andrew Anglin on. It is a toughie. One proposal I've had, which I think is, it's still a stretch, but basically, why not stop competing with the Chinese in Africa? Let the Chinese effectively become, the stewards of Africa.
Let the Chinese colonize Africa.
Let the Chinese, the Chinese,
I would be much more happier with that.
They've never been known for genociding people, but they imposed on their own population for three decades a one-child policy, and they have the moral background. I mean, they can make the moral case. Well, we did it to ourselves, and look what happened. We got rich, and they'd be in a much better position to lead a very draconian population policy in Africa, and it probably would be good for Africa. And the Europeans can't do it. Absolutely can't do it. We've got Christianity. We've got history of colonialism there and whatnot. We can't do it.
With a high chance that the Chinese government will hear this, then just to tell them I approve of them colonizing Africa.
Absolutely. And, what are the Chinese doing now? Well, they're effectively colonizing Australia and Canada.
Yeah, for resources.
Yeah. And, they're moving population there. And
yeah, right, they are. They're having a big Asian invasion. You're right, that would be a whole new subject.
Yeah, and it would only take, 20% of Mexico apparently has moved to America. And that made them the biggest minority in America.
It's that much?
Yeah, like 20%. Yeah, so something like that. Yeah, about 1 in 5 Mexicans. If 2% of the Chinese moved to Australia, they would become not the biggest minority, they would become the majority. So it would be much better for them to be focusing their attentions on Africa than on Australia and the West, and it would.
I would think it would be more profitable as well.
It may well be. I think it would probably be a win-win for everybody. Because let's face it, the Africans desperately need effective government, and they can't provide it for themselves, and the Europeans can't provide it because of history and because of colonialism and because of guilt and because of Jews and because of all sorts of things. So why not the Chinese?
Why not?
I remember Benjamin Fulford, who was on the show last week, telling me years and years ago that the best thing for Africa would be for the UN to just import a bunch of Korean technocrats and let them run Africa. And I just thought that was the most racist thing I ever heard. But no. But that, yeah, I mean, something has to be done, and, killer robots or, letting them revert to starvation and cannibalism. Andrew Anglin himself said that would be sad. He would like to avoid that, as then he pivoted to maybe genetically engineered viruses that would target the African genome or something like that.
I don't really agree with that either.
No, but I had him on The Outlandish to accentuate the real.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. We've been talking about real problems. These are economic problems. Demography, overpopulation, resource use. This is all real problems that impact the economy and society and civilization. Let's shift now to cryptocurrencies. And I take it you are going to explain a little bit about one way of getting into cryptocurrencies. And that's Coinbase?
Yeah, and that I would add also, it's probably the easiest way, it's the most convenient way, so that makes it attractive, you know, to a lot of people, and myself included.
So how do you, what is Coinbase, and how do you sign up for it?
Well, they're your access to the market. They're a crypto broker, I believe, is probably their proper title.
Are they
a broker.
Are they?
And they're also a wallet too.
Okay, they're a wallet, and it's an online wallet, not a wallet that you would have on your own hard drive that could be lost right. That way.
It's a cloud wallet, so you can use it from your phone, or if you have one of those fancy watches. I don't, but you can use it with those too.
Those. Oh gosh, Dick Tracy. Do you remember the Dick Tracy cartoon comic books?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, and he had that watch, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can do a lot more with an Apple Watch than Dick Tracy could do with his watch.
That's funny. I never thought about that, but that's pretty good.
Hey, did you ever see Get Smart?
No.
Well, it was a funny show. He had a phone in his shoe. And, you know, it wasn't even a touch-tone phone. It was like he'd take off his shoe and he'd remove the heel. And there would be a dial, you know, he would actually dial the old-fashioned way. It wasn't even touch tone. And Touchstone had already been developed in the 1960s when this show was made, but no, he had an old-fashioned dial phone, and it'd hold his shoe up to his ear, which is pretty good. A lot of this stuff, even the Star Trek stuff now with the phaser wasn't exactly a taser, but, you know, the phaser and the communicator. We're still not beaming people up, though. I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, so how do you sign up for Coinbase, and then what can you do once you're signed up?
Well, when you're signed up with Coinbase, you can link a bank account or your debit card, and you can buy crypto for a fee with the market price, or you can speculate on the market, which means you can watch the chart of what the price of whatever crypto you want to buy, either Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Litecoin, or Bitcoin Cash, which is a spinoff of Bitcoin.
What's the difference?
Bitcoin Cash it's the same software, I believe, run off a different blockchain, and it doesn't take as long. It was modified slightly to where transactions wouldn't take as long. And it runs at a different price than regular Bitcoin Classic.
Okay.
For instance, it's several thousands of dollars per token. But the last time I looked, it was around $800.
Now, you said you can link this to your bank accounts. What if you wanted to make a donation to RBN, for instance? Of course, RBN does take regular credit cards, so that might not be the best example. But if you wanted to make a donation, I'm not actually...
To Dr. Duke,
or, yeah, somebody who only takes Bitcoin. To Don Black, for instance.
Maybe Stormfront.
Stormfront, yeah. If you wanted to donate to Stormfront and you didn't want
or
to write
Dr.
a check...
Slattery.
Yeah, I actually have a Bitcoin donation thing on my website, but... I'm actually not seeking the Bitcoin donations because I'm not sure if I don't think I've ever had one, and I don't know what I don't know if I could handle it. I'm not familiar enough myself on the receiving end. If I could still get into that wallet, I know when I first signed up for it, I checked it a few times, and then last time I tried to get into it, there had been some time interval, and I. So, here we are giving out advice about things that, at least in this case, I know very little about. But we have that our disclaimer, right? We're not financial advisors.
One of the ways that I add funds to one of my accounts is through crypto. So, I had to get into crypto. I had no other choice. And that's okay. It's easier than I thought.
And that's to... put funds into one of these offshore currency trading accounts that you have.
Correct.
Which is not illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
Not illegal. Okay. So let's just say somebody wanted to donate to, somewhere that only can take cryptocurrency. And this person doesn't really want to get into... that doesn't want the risk of holding cryptocurrency. Would they be able to just go on this account and say, okay, I want to send $100. They send $100 and it gets translated into what would be the equivalent amount of that cryptocurrency and gets contributed to that person. And so to the beneficiary. And so the person with the Coinbase account isn't really taking any, cryptocurrency risk. They're just making a donation that goes through cryptocurrency. Could it be used that way?
Through Coinbase, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, that seems to be one of...
Right, you don't have to do the conversion yourself, in other words.
Yeah. So, what seems to me with the credit card companies having... denied services to so many people, including myself, including Don Black on Stormfront and so many others, that if there was a way for people to bypass the credit card settlers by going through a cryptocurrency, that would be really, really beneficial. That would be really useful. And that would not be the same thing as, you know, speculating in cryptocurrencies, where you go and, you know, invest or, you know, put in $1,000 and then maybe a week later it's doubled or it's halved, right?
Yeah, you just put in an order. I mean, I guess when I say speculate, I mean, like, just putting in either a market order or a limit sell order. And a limit sell order is just when you choose what price it is. So, say, for instance, if the price is falling, you know, and it's, you have a reasonable belief that it's going to continue to fall, you can put in a price at a certain level, you know, that it will hit, instead of just buying in at the moment, you know, when it's still going to fall. You know, that doesn't really make any sense. That's what's called a limit order, you know, so you place a limit order, and I would add it's also fee-free when you speculate, but when you outright buy it from your debit card, there's a larger fee, and we're talking a few dollars versus maybe 30 cents, so, I mean, it is substantial. I mean, if you want to learn how to speculate, it's not very hard. And you can do it with very minimal amounts of money. And you can also do it on a demo account as well, like completely risk-free.
And this is through whom?
Well, there are many brokers. Most brokers, either crypto or currency or even stocks, for that matter, or ETFs, have an option for a demo account. And the reason for that is they want to show you how easy it is for you to lose their money, or your money through them.
it's easy to lose money. And one thing I think anybody who wants to get into investing, especially more speculative investing, is be relatively certain you're going to actually learn some lessons the hard way. That you're going to do some things that, you know, that people have told you, be careful, don't do such and such. And maybe you say,
I've learned it's not attractive for one reason, because when you first get into it, you're almost guaranteed to lose money. But if you can kind of stiff through that and learn from those mistakes, you're almost guaranteed to make money. But, you know, I mean, that doesn't make it attractive. It's not like going to college, say, for instance, oh, if I put money up and I go to college, I can get a better job and, you know, make more money.
That used to be the idea.
Right, yeah. Depends
very much on which subject you study.
Getting into something saying, oh, I know I'm going to lose money and I perhaps may not get that back in the future. It's not very appealing. So I would say, yeah, it takes a special kind of personality to trade. You have to really look at money as indifferent. I mean, you have to be indifferent to money.
Yeah, and yeah, if you're the type of person who's got a compulsive personality and would have trouble in Las Vegas, you know, you have trouble with things, you probably don't want to get into it. There's a bit of a
you really have to understand how these brokers work and how they make money. One thing I would just briefly say is that they immediately have a conflict of interest, because they make money when you lose, just like a casino. So, I mean, I wouldn't compare trading as to where you have to beat the casino, because in that perspective, the casino would be the world, right? Can't beat the world. You just have to ride the wave. Imagine, like, you don't create the ocean. The surfer doesn't create the ocean. He just rides the wave.
Right. That's a good analogy. Well, you know, even, I don't know, some of these online brokers, which I'm not too familiar with, but like Scott Trade or America Trade or something, and they'll advertise maybe $4.99 per trade. Well, let's just say your average trade is $1,000, which for a lot of people is a fair amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
And
even, that is a lot of money.
Yeah, even
to
if
me, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're going to be trading $1,000 per trade, I mean $1,000 per trade, and then your fee is $5, that's a 0.5% you're giving up right there. Now, if these trades are for long term investment, 0.5% you can eat. That's okay. You say, well, you know, it's the cost of doing business. But if you're thinking of selling back and forth, and, you know, like that $1,000, if that's going to be you're going to buy and then you're going to sell and you buy and sell, and you're going back and forth a few times during the course of the year, each time with that 0.5%, that winds up accumulating. And if you're going to be going back and forth, you're only going to be holding, especially if you're only going to be holding that position for a week or two, that 0.5% becomes really huge. You know, you have to be consistently beating the market in order to make up that $5 per trade. So this speculative buying back and forth for a lot of things is just tough.
Yeah, like I said, you have to be going in willing to lose money. Like, it's all about risk management, you know. And the number one rule of that is don't put out money you can't lose, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't want to just burn money, or I wouldn't put it that way, I would much rather be trading than, you know, at the casino. Worse even yet, some of my friends at the strip club, you know.
Oh, my God.
It's a complete waste of money. But I don't mean to get off topic, but anyway.
Complete waste of money.
Like I said, it takes a special kind of personality to trade, to go in there knowing that you may lose everything. But at the same time, like I said, if you can learn from that and stiff it through it, you can make money. You know, I've had really good weeks and really bad weeks. And I bought silver from, you know, some of my gains with crypto, which is another thing. You know, you can get paid in crypto. And there's a website that, actually most websites that are bullion dealers accept crypto as payment. So, if you like precious metals.
So here's the other thing. It's, okay, there's risk in trading, but there's also risk in doing nothing. The difference is the risk in doing nothing is the default risk. And you think back 10 years ago, 10 years ago this summer when they were having the big financial crisis with Bear Stearns melting down and AIG and Lehman Brothers. And people who were doing nothing or, you know, were just going along with their company's retirement plan or whatever got burned. The average person who was doing nothing got burned. You think back 45 years ago or so when there was all of this inflation. People who were doing nothing got burned. The value of their cash savings or the money stashed under their mattress went down. It went down a lot over the course of, you know, a number of years. It went down. If you're having, they had double digit inflation. If you have double digit inflation for 7 years, you lose half your money. And that's, well, I mean, 10%. If it's only exactly 10% for 7 years, you'll lose half your money. So doing nothing.
Theft. I mean, inflation is theft.
Yeah, so doing nothing is a risk too. And so the
right.
Choice is, do you want to go along with the default risk, which for a lot of people is probably the thing to do, or do you want to take control and, you know, you want to take responsibility for what your risk is?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to hold cash. And if that's your only option, then that's what you should be doing. I wouldn't recommend anybody do anything with money. I'm just saying what I would do with my money. You know, if I didn't have very much money, which I don't, I wouldn't be holding precious metals. You know, I wouldn't be trading. I wouldn't be doing any, you know, be paying my bills, be buying new tires for your truck or car, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, that's, you don't really have a choice. Okay, well, that wraps up today. We will have the ZioWatch News Roundup after the break. But, Filbert, thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Okay, and I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode. And in the meantime, here comes the ZioWatch News Roundup.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome to ZioWatch News Roundup, brought to you by CoSertified, the app for people who eat food. Well, today is the Oy Vey edition. Our first story: knife-wielding man threatens Jewish family on way to synagogue. Oy Vey! A man was arrested in the Swiss city of Zurich after allegedly threatening Orthodox Jewish children and chasing a Jewish family with a large knife. I wonder what kind of person this was. Let's go on to the next story. Jewish man assaulted in Berlin for wearing Star of David. Oy vey! A Syrian Jewish man was assaulted in a Berlin park by a group of young adults and teens after they noticed he was wearing a Star of David. The man had asked the group for a light for his cigarette before he was attacked on Saturday night, Jewish news service Deutsche Welle reported. He was hospitalized for his injuries. I wonder what kinds of people these were. Oh, well, the group included 6 Syrians and 3 Germans. Very interesting. Next story. 3 who committed Paris-area anti-Semitic rape and robbery are sentenced to prison. Oy vey! three men who committed an anti-Semitic rape and robbery in the Paris suburb. And by the way, we do not support anti-Semitic rapes or robberies or any kind of violence. But the two men, Abdou Salam Koita, 26, and Ladie Hadara, 23, I wonder where they're from, who committed the rape in Critiel, were sentenced to 8 years and 13 years, respectively. You know, it's very, very interesting. I think there's something going on here. Germany boosts funding to Jewish community to fight anti-Semitism. Germany has increased state benefits for the Central Council of Jews in Germany for the first time since 2011. Wow, it's about time. And the funds will give the fight against anti-Semitism a shot in the arm. In a joint statement issued Friday, Central Council President Josef Schuster and the Federal Minister of the Interior for Building and Community, Horst Seehofer, announced that the annual state support for the Jewish umbrella organization will be raised from 10 million euros to 13 million euros, which is more than $15 million. Noting concern about the rise of anti-Semitism in our society, Seehofer said the Central Council faces increasing challenges and that the funding will help it be met. So it's very interesting. You let in all of these Muslims from areas in the Middle East that have been torn apart by Zionist wars, and they go around attacking Jews. I mean, who could have predicted that? Well, at least the Jews have somewhere to go to. The Germans and the French, on the other hand, are pretty much stuck where they are. Next story. Nigerian mother and her four children deported from Israel after being jailed for 3 weeks. At least they weren't separated. A Nigerian woman and her four children were deported from Israel on Sunday night after they spent 3 weeks in an Israeli prison. The case of the woman, identified as Marcy, who had been in Israel illegally since 2010, gained public attention after her children were brought to prison 3 weeks ago after school let out for the summer. You know, 2010, why isn't she a citizen by now? Gosh. Syria, next story. Syria says it downed Israeli missiles targeting airbase. The Syrian government said it downed several Israeli missiles that were targeting an airbase in western Syria. The official Syrian news agency Sana reported that the airbase's defense systems on Sunday evening downed the strikes aimed at the Homs base. And our last story, Israel to attack Syrian forces if they move into border zone. An Israeli minister has warned Syria that Israel could strike Syrian government troops if they are stationed in a border zone, subject to a UN demilitarization agreement, a few days after Tel Aviv announced that it had beefed up its military presence in the occupied Golan Heights near the Syrian border. So, the Israelis get to beef up military in the Golan Heights, occupied Syrian territory, but the Syrians aren't allowed to deploy their own forces in their own territory. That concludes this week's ZioWatch News Roundup.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.